dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Triple Crown Family Fun Center's SEC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox with you for the first show of Season 9, Episode 254. And we are brought to you, as each and every podcast has been, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529 or look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. I'd like to bring in the two gentlemen who will be doing most of the talking tonight and throughout the season of our podcast, Season 9. First, I'd like to introduce Mr. John Bruce and say hello to him. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be back in the studio and get ready to get going on my second season here. And your guys' 15th, is that right?
Not quite. I think you did tweet that out somewhere during the off season when you were down in Mickey Land or something like that. But
yeah, I think I was off by a little bit. But you know, it's
season it happens. Nine. Season 9, and of course, I'd like to also introduce and bring in Shane Combs. Shane, well, this is episode 254, so we've done this 254 times, and as I told you before we started, I kind of feel like a duck out of water getting back into the studio here, but welcome back.
I'm really excited, guys. I always look forward to it, and a lot of the nice comments around the area, I appreciate those. And down at the preview the other day, down at Piketon, I probably had four or five different people mention the show. So it's nice. I obviously want to thank Triple Crown, the 9-year commitment. They've made all this possible. And then obviously as the podcast has grown, we've needed a little bit more support to do some different things and to upgrade it a little bit. And obviously Crown Hill, I've enjoyed getting up there. And gosh, I was looking at my tracker for handicap there. I think I played up there 7 or 8 times this year, and always good to see Kevin and get together a little bit and talk. And course is in great shape. I know our all league matches there tonight as we speak here. And I just appreciate the support of Crown Hill. Obviously North Fork Animal Clinic come on here a couple years back, and what Blake does and everything that they offer the support. I know Bruce will give a shout out to them a little bit more, some things. And then we would like to welcome Advanced Services onto the website and the podcast and the great support. So Advanced Services is someone that you can see phone number and website there on the scoreboard pages as well. But they're going to throw some great support to us for the podcast. So, you know, obviously with Triple Crown, their long-term commitment, but then with Crown Hill, North Fork, and Advanced Services, I know Bruce, you'll give some shout-outs to them throughout each show throughout the year. And but I certainly up front here starting Season 9 wanted to kind of give a personal thank you to them and everything they've done.
Well, we appreciate all of our sponsors. So, well, Shane, let's start first, if we can. Give a little love to volleyball first, if that's all right.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll never complain with that.
All right. And then I'm going to let John here kind of take us through volleyball. John, why don't you just take over there?
Yeah, well, Saturday I was covering soccer, so I didn't really get a chance. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the preview.
All right.
So, Shane, what did you see? Is there anything kind of stood out to you, or just kind of an overview of the league in general so far?
John, I think that's a great place to start. Just sometimes when you do these preview shows, you want to overview the league, and you know, the way I look at it is, a lot of times if you're looking at a great program, you know how, John, we say we kind of reload instead of rebuild. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say for the SVC. I think SVC volleyball is way too good to ever use rebuilding as a term. I think that would almost be a that would just be a poor way to say it. It would just be it wouldn't describe the level of play they've had. I think it's a league that will simply reload. Now I will say at the top of the standings last year with Uniota Southeastern 12-2, Zane Trace Huntington at 9-5, you could argue on paper all four of those teams, albeit you know still pretty good volleyball teams, are not as good as they were last year. Now you go to the bottom, Dean is 7-7. Westfall 5-9, Piketon 2-12, Payne Valley 0-14. I think all of those teams would feel like they are much better, or you know, in certain areas much better than they were a year ago. Now, does that mean they'll all meet in the middle? I don't know if it's that extreme, but I certainly think it kind of makes for some interesting headlines. I think the biggest thing to understand is when I use the term reload, the reload comes from the incredible graduation. I mean, the bottom line is when I say names to you like Josie Fisher, Amanda McGlone, Lauren Goble, Jess Boldy, and those other Southeastern kids, Hannah Unger, Evie Bennett, Maddie Rand, Riley Black, Miranda McCloskey, Braden Collins, even the Paint Valley kids that made the tournament run, Leah McFadden, Kelsey Dunn, Savannah Smith, you know, when Conley, with what she has done there in the past with running some of the Piketon, and even teams like Westfall Dean have not hit quite as hard. Westfall lost some kids like Staten and a couple other kids. Reese Kearns there at Adina. That's a long list of kids, John. So, I mean, you don't lose kids like that from throughout the league and not feel it. But I think as we start through some of our preview tonight, you'll start to understand how there's still a lot coming back and a lot that teams will reload with for sure.
Yeah, that was quite a list of –
yeah,
players sure. Who have been some of the league's best ever.
Yeah,
I mean, Lauren Goble's one of the greatest assist people right. In OHSA history. So you don't just replace that. Now, getting back to Uniota, I'm kind of hearing a mixed bag on them. So what is the truth? Are they the favorite? Are they not the favorite? You know, obviously I hear more good than bad, but, you know, I'm not sure what to believe.
Well, listen, when you're doing preview shows, you're obviously doing what's on paper. You take what happened last year, right? Yeah. And you analyze things on paper and then you kind of go with those for predictions. So I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to win every match or they're going to do whatever, but to say they're not the favorite, that's confusing. Someone in Uniota's camp in public relations, I joked with someone the other day, other than John Bruce.
Yeah.
The public relations person at Uniota might be the most underpaid employee on their staff. I mean, they've really done a job here. I mean, this isn't even close in terms of it. Now, again, there's going to be some teams that are much better and they're going to challenge and so forth. But on paper, you're talking about a program that was 47-5 over the past 2 years. And I understand. I just named some kids. I even could have thrown Strickland in there as well of some kids that graduated. But you returned 7 of your 10 kids in the rotation last year, John, in terms of kids that have been there, done that, played in championship matches. Emily Coleman, Amber Cottrell, Alexis Miller, Hallie Pinkerton, Cree Stolle, Casey Pierce, Ava Eldridge. And then you add a kid in Krissa Wheeler who was on the other co-champion that she played in the Elite Eight last year in the tournament. So, you know, to say they're not the favorite is crazy. Now by how much? I don't know. I think there's some teams that'll push them a little bit. But on paper, I certainly think any spin you try to put on it where you don't at least put them at the top of a preseason poll. I don't get it. I mean, when your defense is anchored with a kid like Pinkerton, and then your two setters are back, I understand they're going to have some trouble with losing their size at the net. But gosh, you have just tons of athletes across the board. So on paper, they certainly have to be the favorite.
So obviously you're talking, they bring a lot back. Which team do you think has taken the biggest step forward from last year to this year? Because I know we lost a lot of players, but with people back, who do you think will be most improved?
I would say probably Dean at Westfall would probably fit in that mix. When you look at the top of the standings there, Southeastern certainly has lost some different kids. Huntington, Zane Trace were hit really hard by graduation. I would think Adina or Westfall Many people feel Edina is a year away, and I get that. They think they're a year away from being really good for a couple years. I understand that, but gosh, I think the time could be now for them. I love the growth of Martin and Harper at the end of last year. You know, the lovely sisters, Emma Kenna and Kayla, give them athleticism. Olivia Riley. This is a really complete passing team. When you consider Carol and Garrison, it's just really, really probably the best ball handling team in the league from a passing standpoint. I know the setter position over at Edina's heyday, they've used a lot of 5-1s. Last year's a little bit of a 6-2. This year looks like it's going to be 6-2 as well. But then again, that's, you know, that's the preview. You never know what you're going to see as you get into to the regular season. But they certainly, Ari Darris, certainly a talented kid, was the 6-2 setter with Kearns last year. And this year they're using, or at least in the preview the other day, used Lovely a little bit. But I would say they're certainly a team when you consider the way their young hitters have come on. That are right there. And then Westfall takes a giant step forward when you think of the talent of Kristen Phillips. She's really, really good. And if Josie Williams can step in and really take over the setter position, what that does is it gives Phillips a lot of swings and a lot of consistency and a lot of chemistry there. I love Mullins, love Young, Latham. This is a really long volleyball team, athletic team. John, they're the type of team when they take the court will certainly pass the eye test. They just have that great length and great athleticism. Now, they certainly did lose a couple people, but just have some nice kids back. They had a really nice summer, from what I understand, had some success. And that obviously can, as we know as coaches, can sometimes, you know, jumpstart a little bit into the season as well. So I would say Edina or Westfall, and some people would go as far to say Edina or Westfall even closing the gap all the way up to Uniota there. That's certainly fair on a given night over the course of 14 matches is what I'm not sure of yet. That's what I'll have to see a little bit more regular season volleyball where coaches aren't, you know, throwing who knows what in a rotation out there to truly see.
You're telling me that people aren't showing what they got at the preview?
Hey, volleyball at the preview is hard to watch. You know, like in basketball, sometimes if you mix and match kids, you still go out and play basketball. It might be a little ugly, but you start right. Mixing rotations in volleyball, and it can almost get hard to watch. I mean, it could turn into some ugly volleyball. So, yeah, you certainly had some teams the other day. I'm guessing when I go out and watch some non-league games this week, I'll see something just a little bit different.
I just don't know why coaches wouldn't show everything they got.
That's exactly
right. Why don't you pass out a report? Let us all see it. Hey, we're going to play this kid here, and here. Yeah.
All right. So, what is something that's being overlooked by the fans when predicting the league this year?
Wow. Another good question. I'll tell you this. Lexi Lockwood at Southeastern. I would say that has to be the first thing that jumps to my mind here. This is a kid that last year as a freshman, this is a Southeastern team that already probably doesn't pass it quite as well, you know, in terms of across the lineup the way Pinkerton and the bunch at Uniota does. But Lockwood was a kid that I don't think we updated off of all of the postseason stuff last year, but I think counting postseason was well over 400 digs as a freshman. And right now she's out with some issues, and the word I got at the preview the other day is you're probably looking a couple weeks out, maybe, just to kind of get a report and see if it's closer to a week or two compared to something closer to a month, then maybe it won't be as big a deal. But that's a huge factor. You're talking about a team that's already lost a couple key kids in the last couple off seasons. Now all of a sudden you come back and you lose a someone who anchors your defense like this. Now obviously Skylar Heiss are returning POY. She's incredible, great player, great competitor. Just watching her the other day, you get a battle with her any day. I mean, what a really, really fun kid to watch compete. Skylar's super. So she's going to go out and will her team in every way possible. Longheat and Skeens there at the net, going to mix and match some of Longheat skills, maybe with some setting and so forth. Now they have some kids coming up. They have some great size. They certainly have a kid. They're going to look to maybe a senior in Cooper to do some setting as well. But, you know, they have some really good size from a lot of the young kids. We'll see. I really worry about that passing, especially with Goble gone. You know, sometimes with a setter like a Goble or a kid like that over the years, you know, they can offset some bad passing here and there and still get the ball where it needs to go. That's going to be quite a challenge on some new setters this year. And I just think losing Lockwood is something that's probably being overlooked. It could be honestly as much parity as we have, particularly in the middle of this league. I think her health could mean as much as, gosh, I don't want to overstate it here, but man, John, I think it can almost mean the difference between say second and sixth place is probably a little harsh. Wow. Maybe fourth or fifth. That's what I'm saying. Sixth is probably harsh, but probably the difference between say second and let's say fourth would be a fair statement, I think, for sure.
That's a big impact.
Yeah.
Hopefully she gets back soon. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here. How would you put together a all league team or a preseason all league team if you had to form a lineup and rotation?
Wow, Jerry Ward, yeah. Jerry Ward wouldn't be very happy with me on this question. He'd be like, well, how about we just play it out and see how it comes out? But I used to tell him that's why we have podcast shows and we're allowed to talk about this stuff, even though coaches and players probably don't need to hear it. That's obviously tough. I mean, goodness, when you start putting them into rotations, now all of a sudden you're not always getting, you know, maybe the exact top six, seven, eight, nine kids, but you're looking into a rotate. You guys know me. A lot of times I start with that setter position. I think it would be completely unfair because keep in mind when you're doing these preseason teams, and John, tell me if you disagree, I think you have to go on what they've already accomplished. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of, you know, see where they're coming into the year. I don't know that you project out all the time. Some people would disagree with that. They would say, well, you're kind of projecting to see who's going to be there at the end of the year. I don't know if I'm doing that as much as I'm looking at what's coming back. So if I go off a past experience, I think it'd be completely unfair not to put the Uniota setters there at the top. You're going to see a lot of 6-2 lineups. Now, I think there's a couple setters that are going to really blossom in this year's league. But coming out of last year, I think Coleman and Eldridge, in terms of what they did at Uniota, would probably be where you have to start. Obviously, defensively, Hallie Pinkerton's a no-brainer. That's mm-hmm. easy. Skylar Heiss, yeah, obviously your player of the year coming back. Then as you get going, I think in the middle, Phillips would be a no-brainer for me. Now, opposite of Phillips in the middle, this is an interesting discussion because who wouldn't love, John, a Division I athlete like an Allison Basie? At such a young, raw skills. But I tell you, Martin and Harper, I mentioned that earlier. I really, really – watch out for the Adina middles this year. Some of the size at the net, they really had big finishes to their freshman year. Watch out for them. I'd have no problem if you went with one of them in the middle instead. Now, opposite there of Heiss and also playing all the way around, you're talking Amber Cottrell's an SVC champion. She's played all the way around for some really good teams over the, you know, she's lost 5 volleyball matches in the last 2 years, and 2 of those were in the district final. You know, so she's obviously really good. And then on that other side there, gosh, I don't know. Based on what they've done, I know it's a short resume because of how young they are, but you know, an Allie Bennett, a Megan Steele, those would be fair kids to look at. And here's what I would say to this too, John. This is what's so cool about. Remember, I was talking in the first answer about reloading. I think the younger kids, you're gonna see 2 or 3 names that you have no idea as of right now that are going to turn into really, really good volleyball players. Maybe it's Piketon's young kids like a Lamerson or Jenkins, or if Volgamore gets healthy, maybe at Payne Valley it's McFadden or Poth. Zane Trace had like 17 freshmen. No, I think it was like 4 or 5, but they had like 4 or 5. Alexi Scott was a kid that really was impressive at the preview. She just did 1 or 2 things. You know, sometimes you can just tell. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of impressive. And then what's interesting is you take programs like, say, a Uniota or Adina, you know, Sophie Coleman, a Sydney McGlone, or a Burns Fogelsong at Adina. These are programs that you have a lot of kids ahead of you. You know, so I loved Olivia Smith's improvement from Pink Valley the other day. I know Stanforth and Chapman and Brunfield and some other sophomores come back with her. But I really liked her. I think it'd be unfair for Olivia to be on a preseason list like this, but there's a sleeper that is as you go through the year to see how she grows. So, you know, there's a lot of kids out there, but for me to settle in on the answer for you, I'd probably have to go Eldridge Coleman with my setters. I'd probably have to put Pinkerton wearing the different collar uniform, and then I'd have to go Heiss and Cottrell kind of as my strong sides. I'd probably go Phillips. And like I said, if you went Basie or the Adina kids there in the middle, I can't really argue either way. Bennett Steele certainly probably based on last year's success would probably compete for those other spots there. So gosh, it's incredible to me when I say all those names earlier that graduated, that the fact that I could just put together that list on this in terms of what's still here. It's really exciting. Someone who loves volleyball like me, very excited to get going and watch a lot of it here in the next couple months.
You think he made some friends or maybe some enemies by dumping out there?
I would say there's a lot of people out there that think I'm an idiot, but I think most of them think I'm a nice enough guy to where they're like, oh, Shane's an idiot, but he's a nice guy.
He's a nice idiot.
So that's kind of a good balance.
He's our idiot. Well, guys, up next, we're going to get everyone ready for the upcoming Friday nights as Shane and John analyze two of the league favorites and explain why they may or may not feel golden after week 10. It's time for some football, and we're going to have Shane kind of introduce this segment because it's a little different than what we've done in the past. We look to do some new and different things here in season number 9 of SVC Sports Talk. So, Shane, why don't you just kind of lead us right into it?
Well, John, this actually came clear back last spring. And it started with some Paint Valley stuff. It went over into Uniota. And basically, in talking back and forth with a couple different fans, I said, why don't we save it to the fall? Because that's a little bit more what it is for. So what's going to happen here is basically I'm going to try to be the objective Paint Valley person. You're going to try to be the objective Uniota person. And round one, Bruce will go back and forth. I'll give three reasons why Paint Valley can – repeat their success from last year. You'll give three reasons why Uniota is going to get over the hump and win it instead. At the end, Bruce will lead a little discussion. He'll give us a chance to respond. So we'll just go through the three. And then in the second round, we'll play, you know, the glass half empty in terms of three reasons why Paint Valley won't. You'll give three reasons why Uniota won't. And that's going to open up the discussion because I'm sure there's a couple other football teams out there in the league that are saying, wait just a second. We have pretty big plans ourselves this year. So, Bruce, I hope that makes sense. We'll go ahead and let you take care of whatever business you need to there and then get us started in the segment.
Okay, this section is going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Give them a call, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff can be found at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, and you can, of course, look them up on the web at www.northforkanimalclinic.com. So as Shane described there, we're going to first say reasons why they will take it all. And Shane, we're going to go first to you for your reason why Paint Valley will do so.
Well, I'll say reason number one is just 100% commitment from all involved. When I say all involved, it's not just the players in the weight room, but it's coaches in preparation. It's the Board of Education. It's the community. It's the band. It's the cheerleaders. It's truly that. It's everyone involved. I think you look at the facilities, you look at the equipment, you look at the uniforms, it's just go time. Mm-hmm. And I think, so my number one reason would be that's the expectation and the 100% commitment from all involved.
Okay, John, number one reason for Uniota.
Key players are back and ready to go for their senior year.
All right, nice and short and sweet. Shane, number two reason for PV.
I love the experience, not just the players, but Coach Holland. A lot of players been there, done that, big games, including a very important position of Bryce Newland, four-year guy. So I'd say experience.
All right. John, your number two reason for Uniondo.
The Shermans return four of their five starting offensive linemen that averaged or that led the team to averaging nearly 250 rushing yards per game last year.
Wow, that's impressive. Shane, reason number three for PV, reasons that they will.
Well, I just say talent. Yeah, I mentioned Bryce, but, you know, you get the likes of Mettler and Eisen and Cockrell and McFadden and Alley and the whole offensive line and so forth. So, you know, just it's something as simple as talent.
Okay, I like that. John, number three reason for Uniondo.
Uniondo finally has a coaching staff that has been together for multiple years.
Okay. Gentlemen, you just first heard, or that for the first time is the reasons that you've each given. Why don't you kind of mix that up and discuss? Shane, I'll let things start with you. What either impressed you there about John's list, or you kind of want to point out against about your PV list?
Well, I'll tell you, John, what I kind of assumed maybe a couple things. I love what you said about the offensive line, because, I mean, obviously we have a tendency to love some of those ball carriers, and rightfully so, but the offensive line and the 250. But I'm intrigued by your last one. You know, I was just talking the other day about Painting Valley Volleyball. I think, you know, if we've had, like, say, gosh, I think it's like eight coaches in 10 years maybe. And there's a lot that, you know, as Coach Jackson, because our first, second year, we were talking about that. Talk a little bit more about your third point there, because that was the one I wasn't expecting to hear. And when you said it, I got to thinking, gosh, that is huge. And that's got to be quite a big factor in terms of the overall culture there.
Well, just going back to when Ben Hartsock played, when Matt Hoops played, there's been at least 10 different coaches in the last 20, 25 years. Yeah. And I would say it's probably more than that. I know when I was in high school, we had three coaches in 4 years. And then the one that was there multiple years only lasted one extra year after that. And then it just started just revolving door. And then, you know, it's not just that Coach Metzler, you know, brings the right type of attitude. Just that dude he's a great coach, great motivator. I just love talking to him. And it doesn't have to be about sports. He's a guy who can get you to buy in. And then Bill Adkins on the defense coordinator side and Brian Netter on the offense coordinator side, those guys have been there all together for the 4 years that Coach Metzler's been there. And it seems like they're really hitting their groove. As a staff, a lot of the position coaches have been there for years. I'm not sure if there was any turnover in coaches this year. From what I've seen, it seems like it's the same guys that have been there the last couple of years. And I mean, like, you know, if you get a good staff, you know, obviously Uniondo football has been heading in the right direction, getting to the playoffs the last 3 years. But if you get a staff that really gets the kids to buy in, they can get that first title in since 1998, to me, I think.
Well, and real quick, too, I certainly want to give you, because I was so intrigued by that when I had to throw that in there, go ahead and talk to us a little bit about, I know in doing the piece in Great Seal Sports, which, again, that magazine just turned one, really excited about that, had a nice piece in there with Jamarcus Carroll and Skylar Heiss on this new issue that just came out. You mentioned the offensive line, but gosh, it's hard not to recognize your first point of being healthy. And then kind of a quiet thing that with Little and what he's going to bring to the football backfield as well. I know there's two or three coaches around the league I talked to at the end of last year that was really high on him, you know, when he played for Pike and so forth. So what do you think the return of Carroll's a pretty obvious, but maybe talk about the addition of Little there as well.
Well, just giving them multiple dynamic weapons and in the backfield, they really started to get, even when Jamarcus went down last year, the week after they didn't really get rolling. But then after that, they kind of got rolling again with Aiden Loeffler and Chance Smith. Now both are gone. Loeffler's family moved to the north side of Columbus, and then Chance graduated. But that's where an Isaac Little is so key. If you just watch him in basketball, he's pretty level-headed, very passionate player. That's going to be kind of a leadership thing that can step into where Chance Smith was last year, because he was the same type of player. And then an underrated injury return for Unieta will be Chris Skaggs.
No question.
He only played in four games last year. One of the better defenders in the league, very good linebacker. I know he moved to safety last year, but man, he is a ball hawk. But he's also going to be another guy to run the ball. Another person that came back from injury is Nick Crow. He played in half the games last year. He started to get more reps, and then he went out about halfway through the year. So they're going to have four different people that didn't really contribute to the offense the last half of the year last year, all back and healthy. Man, that should be a dynamic offense behind that offensive line. And then, I'll address something in the reasons why not. But if they can find someone to move the ball on the outside too, because they got some athletes on the outside.
You know, a cool story that you'll appreciate, John. I know you already know this about him, but Bruce, just to give you an idea about the Carroll kid, we're doing the feature on him in the Great Soul Sports, and I had asked him certain questions, and he was doing a good job of really well spoken young man. He was staying on topic, and then at the end, he kind of said, I've got to ask you a favor on one thing, and he's like, can you really talk about my teammate Chris Skaggs? So when you said that made me think of that. John, he was talking about how he's worked so hard to get back and how good a player he is and a person as well. That just anytime that comes from a peer, it gives you an idea of what kind of kid you're talking about there with the Skaggs kid as well.
Oh, yeah. There's really good kids, good hard workers. I'm excited to be able to see them hopefully have a fully healthy senior year for those guys. Now, Shane, you mentioned the everyone buying in at Paint Valley. What is it now with Unieta? It's football is coming around again. What is that like on game day at school to just be at Paint Valley, to have everyone buying into the football program like they do?
I'll be honest, guys. It's unlike anything I've ever been around. Me growing up there at Unieta, in all seriousness, there was a couple decent teams in the 90s or whatever, but for the most part, football was just kind of something you did in the fall until basketball started in the winter. You know what I mean? But it was one of those where now, as you went through the 90s there in the mid-90s and then late 90s, you started to have some good football teams. But it never could – like the coaching changes you're talking about never could really, find someone to stick. At Paint Valley, it's been just the opposite. I mean, like, gosh, if you take Newsom and Holland, you're going back – gosh, what's it been now? 40 years? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like it's been unreal in terms of – the same program. I think a lot of it is, your dad's played, your uncle's played, your even from cheerleading the band I mentioned earlier. So when you are on that game day that you're referring to, John, it's not just the game. I call it an event. It really is. It's there's some cool traditions there where they do some things with the poles on the sidewalk and some different things they paint, and then, the band playing and just a lot of different things. And people, I don't even know if people that even know what a spread offense is or what it means to run an empty back or whatever, football, but they just love their football Friday night. It is, it's a total buy-in, and it's an excitement. And I think that stuff really filters over to a lot of the things we're talking about. Now, at the end of the day, you obviously have to be good, and they are. They're very talented. But what's amazing to me is even during some of the years where it was a 3-7 or a 4-6 rebuild, reload type of year, you still get a lot of those same types of things. It's really unmatched from anything I've ever seen.
Is there anything else, John, that you would like to have Shane defend regarding PV here? He mentioned those.
I there's nothing you can really argue in it. Paint Valley returns a lot. They return a lot of guys who have had success, hopefully getting fully healthy too. And like he mentioned with Coach Holland and the staff, they've been there for years and they've good consistency there. Yeah. I can't argue any of that.
Shane, the new field's going to be ready to go and everything. Is that correct?
Well, it's already up and running there. Yeah.
Yeah. Saw that picture, I think, that you tweeted out or posted not too long ago. Boy, that really looks nice out there.
Yes, it's sharp, and it'll take the game night to a whole different level for sure.
Oh, it surely looks like it will. All right, gentlemen, we're going to go over to our reasons why they might not be looking at gold at the end of the season here. That first brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They're our new sponsor this year on SVC Sports Talk. You can find them on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com. And you can call them at 877-947-4499. They're celebrating 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and you can schedule a consultation today on their website right now. Go to advancedservicesHVAC.com. So now, as I just hinted at there a little bit ago, we're going to talk about reasons why these teams might not be looking at gold. Shane, we're going to go to you. We're going to give each of you three reasons, or you will give us three reasons why they might not make it. Shane's going to go with PV, and John's going to go with Unioto. So, Shane, your number one reason PV may not be looking at gold come the end of the season.
This one's just a little bit lengthier because I think, you know, I'm going to try to say some names here. I think last year's senior class deserves a little bit of their due. Now Paint Valley returns a boatload. Don't get me wrong. This year's senior class is really good. But last year's senior, John, when you and I did a lot of games together or different things, Hunter Gibson, Quentin Daniel, Mackie McDonald, Patrick Chapman. I know Elijah Tackett made some – Caden Johnson had a big catch in a Westfall game. Malik Davis and Caden Grubb were huge. L.J. Bird, I know he had like a scoop and score in a game on defense. So there's a lot of holes to fill. Now, they have a lot coming back, but I do think in a preview show like this, it's a good opportunity just to give that group its due as well. So Paint Valley did graduate some very important pieces.
All right. John, your number one reason that Unioto might not be looking at gold come season end?
The quarterback position. The rest of the league, you know, especially at the top, appears to have pretty clear cut quarterbacks returning. While Unioto looked like they're going to have, you know, a really solid 3-year starter in Loeffler, but then, you know, life happens and he goes up to Olentangy. So they're kind of at a standstill with their signal caller. I know in the two scrimmages they've had two different quarterbacks so far. So, and I think there's a third that could possibly be in there that could get the call at quarterback. So that's a pretty big spot there.
Just like Ohio State-like, aren't they, a little bit? So
yes.
All right, Shane, your number two reason PV may not be looking at gold come season end.
Well, it could be a mixture of just some things of kind of the laws of averages, plus you take a look at the schedule changing a little bit. You know, winning every game's hard. You calls, injuries, bounces. Gosh, sometimes just your opponents when you consider the likes of Carroll and Ruby and Sykes and some of those guys out there. You know, I don't know. The schedule changes up a little bit. John, Afrin Centric was bad. Wellston, not great. Williamsburg had been a good opponent. They were just down last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now all of a sudden the league, what? It flips. Unioto, Zane Trace, Adina. They were all at home last year, but now you make those trips on the road. They added at Pleasant. They added Newark Catholic. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. You look at some guys like even a Christian Fetters, Garrett Clark type of kickers in close games. I just think there's a lot there that the laws of averages can, you know, there's a reason you don't go undefeated every year.
All right. John, your number two reason for Unioto may not be looking at gold come season end.
A little bit of schedule and a little bit of depth. The schedule is, I mean, Benton County is always just a hard-hitting game to start the year. well, you don't have a lot of depth that can, that might take you down a player or two. And then they no longer play McLean week two. Instead, they play him in a Clear Creek. And then, of course, they get to go down to Waverly for week three. And that's just before the league even starts. Mm-hmm. I believe week five is at Adina. So just really tough schedule. Can their depth stay with it? That kind of was a big thing that hurt them last year was losing multiple guys for the year. What are they going to do if similar thing happens? I know last year's senior class had some talented players. I mentioned Chance Smith earlier, Chris Roberts, Cade Fife, Nehemiah Feltz, guys that could really play multiple or on both sides of the ball. How's the young talent going to fill in to these spots? So I think depth could be a huge thing for Uniota.
All right. Shane, I believe we're number three for you on PV.
Guys, let's go beyond the schedule and just look at the fact that, you have healthier opponents. For the most part last year, Paint Valley, like any football season, Paint Valley had some injuries, and they certainly had some off-season injuries and surgeries and some different things that they seem to be recovering from okay, and they're ready to go. But you just have healthier opponents. Obviously, the Carroll return there, Uniota, headlines that. But, Nate Throckmorton, Max Willis, those are some kids at Adina. When I was over at Southeastern last year in week nine, John, what a football game that was. And, those two young men, unfortunately, and had a chance to talk Coach Penwell and so forth. They're ready to go. They're excited. They're healthy. I know you had a chance to go out and see them a little bit the other night in person. But then, Zane Trace, gosh, very similar to Uniota. Zane Trace, by what, week six or seven, it was like they had lost three-fourths of their lineup. So again, I'm not sure what all goes into that. There's some bad luck. John mentioned it might just be a lack of depth sometimes that makes it show up even more. But I think when you start looking at some of these teams, when you have, I mentioned in my previous answer, guys like Carroll and Ruby and Sykes, and not to mention, the compliments that they have with some of the running backs of Adina, some of the athletes they have. Ruby has Nusser there in the backfield with him, and John's done a good job of highlighting some of Carroll's weapons as well. I just think you're going to have healthier teams. You're going to come out of a tougher non-league schedule, which you always worry about health there as well. Because if I'm not mistaken, Adina Uniota's week 4-5, is that right? Or is that?
Yes.
That's a tough 4-5 week stretch. That's a tough month of football on a high school body, and health is certainly going to be a concern. Plus, like I said, I think you're going to see some healthier opponents this year.
All right, John, your number three reason why Uniota may not be looking for gold come season end.
History is not on their side, and the SEC is pretty darn good. This might be the best Uniota team since Ben Hartsock, but at the same time, this is also one of the better kind of runs of the SEC, especially in the playoff football.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been 21 years since they've last won the SEC. They probably will need to go 7-0 in the league to do it. Can they do it, or this group has climbed a couple of the mountains that Uniota football hasn't, the reaching the playoffs, doing it multiple years, actually scoring in the playoffs. Can they kind of conquer one of their last two big goals, which is, win the SEC. The other one is obviously winning a playoff game, but history is not really on their side. And then when you got to face, Preston Sykes, Lane Ruby, obviously everything that Paint Valley has, those are just quarterbacks. With Bryce Newland, there's a lot of talent, a lot of hungry teams, and it's going to be a rough go of it, but it's something I think they can do, but there are definitely some reasons why they may not be able to.
All right. So there you have each other's three reasons why the respective teams might not be looking at gold come season end. Last go-round, when we talked about the positives, I let Shane go first. So, John, I'm going to go to you and say, anything in Shane's list that you kind of want to discuss a little bit further?
Just the schedule, because – you know, last year they still had to win consecutive games. Maybe it wasn't consecutive. It was like week 8 and week 10 with Southeastern and Adena. And, you know, thankfully we won't see what had to happen in week 10 happen again. You know, I'd rather see the grass than the turf, but the turf's beautiful. So that won't be as much of an impact. Yep. But is there anything – has anything changed on the schedule to where it seems like it'll be more difficult, or is it just kind of how high school sports are cyclical?
Well, I think it's completely. I mean, again, I'd be blatantly lying if I didn't look at this schedule and say it's not different, right? I mean, you're going at Pleasant and you're going Newark Catholic. Well, you know, that's not – now, I think the week one game, I think they'll roll in. But, like, at Pleasant and Newark Catholic, that's different than Wellston and Williamsburg. You know, no disrespect to those two schools. That's just different. Now, you also flip the schedule. Not only does Adena come from week 10 to week 4, it's at Adena. And then you turn back around and go at Piketon. And then, you know, you'll get in that stretch of at Uniode, at Zane Trace in the middle there. So survive all that, and you get Lane Ruby and that running game with Nusser and them running on turf in week 9. So it's certainly more difficult. You know, obviously in a one round sport, you're always going to have a year where you play the 4 road games or the 4 home games. You know, going on the road the fourth time adds to that. But yeah, I think for sure the schedule is more difficult. Now, you still have to play the 7 teams, and you have to, you know, win more than the other teams around the league to win it. But sure, it's not anything but just making a correct statement to say that the schedule's more difficult.
Okay. Anything else, John, or is that it? You think?
I do think that I know with how hard those kids work, that they are, while they still have to replace a lot, I do think that, with how hard those kids work, that they'll be more than prepared. And I'm kind of excited to see how some of the younger kids do being in new roles.
What's interesting about that, guys, is, and I think this is true across the league, is, you know, what happens a lot of time, take like Shanton at St. Trace. You know, here's a kid last year that I thought got better every time I watched him play. But now he's got a year under his belt. He starts to get older. He starts to have some different people around him and so forth. I think what happens sometimes when you're young, if you're thrown into a situation where you're asked to do more than you're ready to do, mm-hmm. your weaknesses show up, right? So if you're able to go in, if the occasional sophomore and honestly most of what you're going to see on Football Friday Night for Paint Valley is going to be junior senior, but if a freshman or sophomore is ever occasionally asked to do something for Paint Valley, it's going to be in a situation where they're asked to just do a specific thing, and it's going to be something that they're very comfortable in doing. I think that happens a lot in sports, John, when a lot of times we see young kids play on really good teams, and you see a total comfort of them getting to do exactly what they do well. As you go the other direction, I think sometimes that catches up with you. So, it's going to be an old football team, but that's a good point in terms of the younger kids mixing in there possibly.
Okay, Shane, you heard John kind of talk about three reasons why Uniode might not be looking at gold come season end. Any comments with regards to those?
Absolutely. You know, John, the one thing that I kind of look at, you know, when I see, say, like a Westfall Piketon in the league right now, where they're kind of going through a cycle of rebuilding, mm-hmm. and, you know, both of those teams, like, how old are you?
23. 35, whatever.
Okay.
So, like I said earlier, it's all relative.
So, I think this is even interesting. Even like we don't have a huge age gap, but just a little bit of age gap that you and I have. And then if you come down a little bit, I would say anyone, gosh, older than 28. Don't you feel like sometimes it's hard to convince yourself that, like last year, I was burnt a lot on Westfall, and I still think Westfall has some nice kids back and some different things they're building with, and Piketon, I have high level respect for Coach Gaulia and what he does. I think he's a really good coach, but as they cycle through, sometimes it's just hard to convince yourself that they're not going to be better. You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes you get burnt by that. The reason I bring that up is, as Uniota makes this division change, I just want to get your take on this. I threw this out there on Twitter, and we've had some great discussion. I've had some Uniota alumni that I know listen to the show and so forth that made some nice comments about this. What's your take on the idea of when I say Uniota probably doesn't have a lot of realistic opportunity to compete at a playoff level, and maybe that's unfair, but they certainly have an opportunity to do something that has not been the norm at Uniota, and that's something that, you know, historically would have significance at that school. Do you feel like in a day and age where we talk about postseason, I want to make a tournament run, I want to make a playoff run, depending on the sport, that we've lost sight sometimes of the incredible value of a league championship? And do you think that that's got to be more along the lines of where Uniota's goals start? And I don't want to say end with, but become really the focus. Do you understand what I'm asking there?
Yeah. I think aiming at the league championship is a lot more realistic than trying to get to week 13 in Division III. You know, it's still possible. Even getting to week 12, you know, that was their big goal, is to, you know, win a playoff game. But jumping up a division with everyone else in the league being a minimum of two divisions lower, that's going to be hard to even get in the playoffs without going 10-0. So I think, you know, just because they would maybe lose a week two or a week three, that they still have a lot to play for, because, like I mentioned earlier, they haven't done it in 21 years, winning the league. I don't want to say, you know, it's not attainable to look for postseason success, but I mean, first things first, winning the league should be their first goal. And then if anything after that should be icing on the cake. But, you know, with the division change, it's going to make things a whole lot more difficult.
You know, I also wanted to throw this out there. I don't know that we talked much about it, but, like, you know, with McFadden at Paint Valley coming back, and I know Beeler's going to be going over to quarterback most likely there at Huntington, and there's some different changes. I heard you mention the quarterback situation. You know, Newland's going to look for different ways to get different kids involved, maybe even using some of the backs out of the backfield. Do you think obviously the league's going to be based more around running? Do you think that the team that is able to figure out how to get something through the air, even if it's just the big play capability, do you think that could end up being the X factor, for lack of a better term, maybe in the league this year?
Well, that was a big thing that helped Zadina last year being competitive, was having Sykes be able to find Fogelsong, and Fogelsong's ability to make big plays. I do think it'll be big if a team can stretch or at least have the capability of completing passes, because it's more run first league. But if you can, you know, have like a run pass option, which I know one of the quarterbacks that Uniota is trying out could do both, and that could be huge for them, because then you have to concentrate on something other than just, okay, they're going with Jamarcus Carroll, who's a monster to tackle anyway, but what if they have this option of actually passing? I think All right. it'll be big for anybody in the league. You know, Paint Valley, obviously, you know, Newland is very experienced, can throw a really nice ball. With a healthy McFadden, that's a huge, huge weapon. And then you mentioned some of the guys that graduated last year, but it just felt like they just kept putting fast guys out there on the outside that could run routes and at least be a threat. And I think that's going to be a big thing for Paint Valley this year, is can they still maintain that threat while still having just the dynamic athletes coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, and I mean those are fair points, and I love the Sykes kid. I think that he's got the ability to do some things. I know Shanton's going to be better, Zane Trace there, and I just feel like Ruby obviously is not going to throw it a lot, but because of the way they force you to crowd the box, when he does roll and keep it, a lot of times over the top, you'll see those stat lines where he only throws it two or three times, but a lot of times it's for big yardage. So I just think that's something to really keep an eye on there in terms of how much the running game is going to set that up. So that's all I have, Bruce. Just a lot of fun. Really, really competitive 7 weeks of football.
All right, guys. Up next, we're going to state the obvious, but we're also going to stretch our imagination to some crazy or maybe some not so crazy ideas for the upcoming fall season. Our final segment here on this episode of SVC Sports Talk is going to be fill in the blank. We're going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their phone number is 740-986-4653. You can look them up on the web at www.crownhillgolfclub.com. Get with Kevin and the boys and see what they can do. Still lots of good golfing weather available, it would seem, out there. So, as I mentioned, we're going to play fill in the blank. We're going to play three rounds of this, gentlemen. And I'm going to give you a sentence here with two blanks in it. It says, obviously, blank is going to happen this fall. But beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well. So I'm going to go to Shane first on this one. Shane, what is your first response to that phrase? Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall, but beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
Well, guys, I think I'll go to golf first here. I think that Ty Schoblock and Matty Schultz dominating the league in the area is certainly going to happen this fall. But I believe the two of them finishing Ohio is going to happen as well. And I know that's kind of a bold statement when you start talking at that level, but I just feel like both of them are battle tested. I think they're proven. I like some of the team support they have as well, you know, with Levi Gerber there with Uniota. And gosh, but when you look down through the league, after Endicott of Piketon and Roy of Zane Trace, and I think Jack Latham and Parker Thornton, Westfall teammates, I think, John, that's about it in terms of all league kids coming back. Mm-hmm. And then Schultz is terrific. I mean, she's been under par a couple times, and I think it's worth mentioning her teammates, Ella Seeley and Elizabeth Hart and Michaela Bryant, and then Emily and Maddie Cook, sisters there, the freshmen coming in. I just think at the state level they're going to have an opportunity to maybe take some team success along the way, but nonetheless – it's kind of like, for people that don't play golf, John, it's kind of like that basketball player who you dunk once and then you dunk again, and then after a while you just dunk all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's these guys, they start to shoot scores, and they shoot scores that are, you know, under par, and then they shoot it again, and then after a while they just get used to shooting under par. So it's you know, they – And it just becomes the norm, because a lot of times what golf is just, what's your worst? You know what I mean? Like, how bad you're bad. And in their case, it's still pretty good. And I think that's just a testament to how hard they work and go. So Ty Schoblock and Matty Schultz are two kids I wanted to highlight there in my first round, Bruce.
All right. John, your first round, fill in the blank. Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall, but beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
This is going to be such a ridiculous thing to say, but I'm going to go to tennis. Obviously, Sylvia Gray is going to go undefeated again in the regular season. It's just
really stepping out on a limb there, John.
Yeah, it blows my mind that like 4 years in a row. But beyond that, I believe that she will finish first team All Ohio by finishing in the top, having a top four finish at the OHSA tennis tournament. Mm-hmm. She has gotten out of the first round. I believe as a sophomore, she got out of the first round. She had a really tough matchup last year, but she has really competed well at the state tournament. If you win your first round matchup, you're automatically second team All Ohio, and then you win another one, then your first team. And I just think, you know, she's had such success. She has grown her game. She has challenged herself so much over the summers and the springs outside of just our area, that she's going to be able to, I think she's going to be able to do it. And you know, if she doesn't, you know, she's still a Hall of Famer. She's still one of probably the greatest tennis player ever in our area. But I think she has the ability to do it. She has the speed. She's, you know, very consistent, obviously. And I'm excited to get out and watch her a few times this year.
All right. Shane, you're number two. Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall, but beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
Well, let's give cross country a little bit of love here. I think Uniota Boys and Zane Trace Girls winning the league is probably going to happen. But I'm going to go as far to say we could have four. I almost said five, but I think I'll go four schools being represented at the state meet will happen also. I think when you look through some of the names there, John, that just the Uniota kids just start to roll down through. When you go to our cross country page, you can go back and look at the side of Valley there. And then the same way with Kerr and some of the other Zane Trace kids there on the girls side. It's I think as you look down through the depth there, you're going to see some individual kids that from other schools that I think it's really intriguing to see. What do they come back with their times here a year later? So cross country beginning going soon. We'll be able to really look at Baum's page and study some different things. But I know that there were two or three kids from some of the other schools here. Westfall has some nice kids. Huntington. We'll see. We'll be able to better talk about this in a week or two. But I see four, maybe five, if a couple particular kids can get their times down to be represented at the state level.
All right. John, you're number two. Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall. But beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
Obviously, Uniota Girls will win the SVC and return to the district tournament. But beyond that, I believe that at least four of our SVC soccer teams will compete in the district tournament as well. Last year we had two between boys and girls with Uniota and Westfall. Westfall returns a lot. Really showed well in the district tournament and a very competitive match with Wheelersburg. Marcy Dudgeon returning, the Taylor girl, Yates and Farmer. It's a really good overall soccer team that returns a lot. I think that they can get back. I like Zane Trace. I like the way their team is built with the Addy sisters. They're a team that if they can get in the right matchup, they can get a win, move on. In Southeastern, returning, the Mitten girl who was our league's leading scorer last year, and kind of a loaded league. That's a team that can get out. And now that's not even mentioning the boys' side where Zane Trace drops to Division III with Andrew Ramsey in goal. It's really good defense. He's really good goalkeeper. Had a shutout in their first game against North Adams. Uniota looked really good in their opener. Division II's really difficult, but they were like 2 minutes away last year. Hit the post a couple times, 2 minutes away from getting to overtime against an Alexander team that made it to the regional. I like their chances. So I think there's six teams that could make a run. Southeastern returns a lot of young boys that competed last year, and they still may be a year away, but I like the chances for the SEC to be well represented in the district tournament this year.
John, don't you feel like a lot of our success from our league, the one dynamic is our league. Remember all the enrollment talk and all that stuff, and you know, that's been on and on and on for years. But don't you think in the postseason, a lot of these opportunities come from how we spread out? Like when I'm thinking back to my cross country answer, not only is Kerr and Hartsall and those kids and like, you know, a Henry or Barnes from Westfall, but you know, a Spetnagel Unioda, but you also get a Hopkins or a Miller on the Paint Valley side. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't happen, obviously, if they're all the same division, because you just run out of spots. I think the same is true when you look down through with all those Unioda boys coming back. You also get a chance to maybe get sneak a Westfall runner in there or some different kids. So what you're saying, I think it comes up because of the way we spread out in the postseason.
Yeah, I completely agree. If all you got to do is look back at baseball, right, where, you know, Huntington finishes at the bottom of the league, but then makes a run to the regional in Division IV because they don't have to run into the league teams anymore. You mentioned the runners from Westfall. They get split from you. Well, that may benefit Unioda on the size of school and everything, but it also benefits the rest of the league on postseason success, because just looking back at, let's say, basketball last winter with Adina and Zane Trace both getting to the regional. Right. You know, maybe that doesn't happen if they're both in the same district, which they could be this year. But I think the fact that we are kind of in a variety of places really helps our schools when it comes to postseason success.
Agree.
All right, Shane, I think we're to your third contribution to this. Fill in the blank. Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall, but beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
Well, I kind of tripped over the wording of this all weekend because these things came up at the preview the other day. I think in the end, a Unioda winning the league is probably going to happen in volleyball. But someone asked me to set an over-under on this, and I'm going to say about 9, John. I think we are looking at about 9 or more 5-set matches in SVC play. I think we have that much parity, and some of those might even include Unioda's matches. I think we have that much parity in terms of you're going to see a lot of situations where really elite players are coming across the net, and when they get stuck in the back row, you're going to think you're watching a completely different volleyball team, because in a way you are. You know, you just don't have the complete depth of this hitter goes to the back row, this hitter comes to the front. You're going to have a lot more of, hey, we got to survive these couple rotations and get our hitter back to the front, or we got to survive these rotations and get back to where a serve receive has a chance to put a ball in play. So just something to think of. That's an awful lot, because volleyball, it's hard to upset. Yeah, that's why in fall we don't get a lot of upsets. You know, think about it. In cross country, you just all of a sudden going to run faster than Unioda. You know what I mean? In golf, you're going to just – if you shoot 45, you're going to go out and beat Ty Schoblock. You know, or in volleyball, if I'm better than you, I'm probably going to beat you best of five. In football, if we're just bigger, faster, stronger up front, over the course of 4 quarters, we're probably going to beat you. So – we don't get a lot of parity in the fall, and I guess that's what's exciting as we come closer to the end here, Bruce, is the fact that we could really have a fun fall in terms of some competition this year.
All right. And, John, your number three response to the fill in the blank. Obviously, blank is going to happen this fall, but beyond that, I believe blank is going to happen as well.
Obviously, at least one SVC football team will return to the playoffs this fall, but beyond that, I believe that at least two will win a playoff game, and one of those will have a chance to play for the regional championship in week 13. I think our quarterback play is going to give the teams in the league a chance to compete in the playoffs, and I mean, and honestly, if as many teams get there as I'm think in their will, they could be playing each other. So that kind of could be a way to get me to be correct on this, you know, knocking each other out. But I think we've got some size. We've got a lot of speed, really quality quarterback play. I think with how the league spreads out, kind of like you mentioned already, Shane, it's going to be into an area where they can possibly compete and possibly win a couple playoff games. So I'm excited to see if I am correct or very wrong on that. Hopefully I'm not very wrong.
I hope that the fans will hold your guys' feet to the fire on this. We'll have to kind of remember this out in, what, week 10 through 13 and so forth. That would be interesting to go back and look at some of this. So if they want to contribute some information or give a different opinion than those expressed tonight on SVC Sports Talk, you may do so by contacting either of these two gentlemen. You can do so contacting Shane by email, his email address, admin1@svcsportzone.com. And he's on Twitter with the handle at SVC Sports Zone. And when he tweets regarding SVC Sports, which is most of the time, he uses that hashtag SVC Sports Talk. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, one being svcsportzone.com, which is the Sports Zone's page. And then he has his personal SVC Sports Zone, which is Shane Combs' SVC Sports Zone. That's more of his personal page as well. John has an email of jbruce1018@yahoo.com, where you can contact him. And, of course, the ever-famous John Bruce Twitter handle, at Coconut Wall Papa. You can contact him there, and he too, using the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, to kind of, you know, allow you to search on that hashtag for information about SVC Sports. Want to remind you, you can also call the DBK Media Services line at 740-569-3254 to leave a voicemail message, which I will, you know, get to these gentlemen, and we may use it if that's okay. You might even let us know as you're leaving it. Say, don't use this on the program, or do use this on the program. That would be great. And we ask that you, you know, when our Twitter or when our posts go out with regards to this podcast, if you could share it on Facebook or Twitter, we'd really appreciate that. We're trying to kind of ramp up the audience quite a bit this year. So share on Facebook and Twitter. And then do us a favor as well. If you're listening through iTunes or Apple's facility, you can rate the podcasts. We would covet your rating and your comments as well. So, gentlemen, any final thoughts? I'll turn to you, Shane.
Well, basically, John, I'm excited. You know, I have some other golf stuff I'm looking forward to get to throughout the year. You know, some people mentioned Piketon boys playing well there the other night. I'm anxious to get tonight's scoring as we're recording on Monday to see if Uniota won or if Piketon was able to do it on the league night. Pace of play has been a big golf topic. Looking forward to talking some stuff there. You know, cross country, once we get some times and some different things, I have four or five kids really looking forward to there. And then, you know, obviously, John soccer coverage and the football volleyball. So, I think it's going to be a great fall, John. I certainly don't want to close you out before I, get us out of here this week. Any final parting thoughts from you?
I would just make sure to follow along with the hashtag SVC Sports Talk on the Twitter machine. I'll be at a few games this week, and then I'll be taking my traveling baseball show to the road this weekend. And then, so if you want to see some tweets about that, you can also follow me on there. But it's I'm really excited to see the league starting off. You know, I'm going to get out and watch a volleyball game this week, a couple of soccer matches the next couple of days, Uniota girls and Hillsborough girls, and then Zantrace boys and girls have a doubleheader on Wednesday at home against Logan Elm. So I'm excited to get out and see a couple of the other teams.
Well, I appreciate that. And when you think soccer, you know, it takes us back to the beginning there, Bruce, Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. Thank you to them. Yep. Crown Hill North Fork Animal Clinic and Advanced Services. Obviously, they're tremendous. And Bruce, with you and DBK Media Services, want to thank you. I mean, here we are in year 9. We're trucking along, hoping to push my math's not very good into the 280s this year.
Yeah, that'd be about right. That's right.
You know, so, and we're even looking to, Bruce has been playing around with some fancy equipment for us here. John and I might even take our talents out on the road some, Bruce, and do a little volleyball and football you and I were talking about, right? That so maybe do something about that. So look forward to all of it. Encourage the fans to stick with us all year long and keep checking out that website. We'll always vary here and there in terms of some sports topics, but you know our motto. So as we get out of here, I'll remind you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.